I've never seen a diamond in the flesh.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of the Rebel Room. I'm Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer here on Monday, September 21st, as we look at this UNLV football team coming off a 28-7 defeat at Michigan, looking ahead to this weekend back at home, kind of the real stretch of games, first three for UNLV. Never expected a win out of them. It was more about what they could do just inside of those 60 minutes, the positives, the negatives, what could they build on. But now it's time to talk about whether they're going to win or not. And starting this weekend, I think we all expect a positive result, but how that's going to come, and then looking even more at this four-game stretch that I know, Ray, you've had your eye on since the schedule came out. I think all of us are looking around at this awful, awful Mountain West and figuring, look, 2.5, getting over that is absolutely attainable. 4 is not out of the question for wins from UNLV, but it has to start with one. Has to start this weekend. Idaho State, Division I AA opponent, is coming into town. Last week, the Bengals lost 52-0 at Boise State. But before we get to that, I just want to look back at Michigan for a couple of minutes. And, Ray, just what were your thoughts on that game? Rebels go, take their million-dollar check to get beat at the Big House. Scoreboard, though, that's not a bad result. And it just kind of depends on what you think really took place. Michigan seemed to just sit on the ball in the third quarter, content with their lead. UNLV barely moved it past the 50 on offense, but then eventually able to put in that touchdown. Just what did you come away thinking about on UNLV's end?
You know, I initially, when we sat here last week, I thought it could be a 50-0 type of game. We didn't know if Blake Decker was going to play, and he played. We didn't know if UNLV could move the ball. And I think we kind of thought that it could get away from them and away from them pretty early. So the fact that they did keep it, you know, within reason, I think is a positive moving forward. I think the players are still engaged. They're still motivated. I think they think that they're better than they are, and there's some evidence of that. You know, they were great in the first game against Northern Illinois in that first half, and they had flashes of good play in a hostile environment, more than 100,000 people, Saturday at Michigan. So I think they're 0-3, but they're like us, and they're looking at the next four games, and I think they could be 4-3.
Case, did UNLV keep it close, or did Michigan keep it close?
Well, Michigan certainly laid off a little bit, as you alluded to, as the game went on, but I really think this was a more than passable effort for UNLV. I watched a lot of the first half, not so much of the second half, and even though Michigan had those three touchdowns, I thought UNLV did some good things defensively. Pass defense, again, surprised me. I really like the Torrey McTyre kid. I think he made a couple good plays on balls. Fred Wilson, I know, had an interception at one point in the game. So I think it's 2 out of 3 so far. I think UNLV's played at least decently against Michigan and Northern Illinois. I think they made a lot of mistakes in the UCLA game, the only game I saw all of, and I didn't really think that was the best effort. But the other two, I think you're happy with where UNLV is, especially given how bad the Mountain West looks.
Yeah, Wilson had an interception off of a tip ball by Blake Richmond, who I think has been the breakthrough player on UNLV's defense so far. But that whole secondary has been solid. I've pointed this out a couple of times, but if you just look at the numbers, it's ugly. You know, they're bottom of the conference, bottom of the nation. But look at the starting field position that their opponents are getting. And then you got to look at some of the individual plays here, because we knew that they were overmatched, certainly against UCLA and Michigan. And, you know, that's even true certainly against Northern Illinois, just to a lesser degree. But Michigan got out to a 14-0 lead because their average starting field position in the first quarter was 14 to nothing, or sorry, was at the 50-yard line. And so then they go up 14-0. And the 76-yard run for another score, you got to tip your cap to Ty Isaac. That was a tremendous play where UNLV had him, but he stopped, waited for his blocker, cut it back, and then just made a phenomenal run. But really, that was the only kind of big play that they gave up. They've been solid throughout the three. And if you're looking for the positives going forward, I think that's the biggest one, because we're just not seeing progression out of UNLV's offense. And that goes back to, you know, Decker's injury. And he did start the Michigan game. He played pretty much the entire thing. All they had was Kurt Palandek's regular 2 series, which is, you know, when Decker has been healthy, that's been the regular plan. But they just could not move the ball whatsoever with him out there. He had gone down with a non-contact injury last play of the first quarter against UCLA. When you see that, you expect someone to be out for a long time. And so I was certainly surprised when he goes out there, starts the Michigan game. Did run around a little bit, looked okay, but had a couple of really bad interceptions where the ball just never had a chance to get to his receivers. Now, there was wind. There was, you know, we've seen Decker just kind of make some bad decisions before. But I also just kind of back in my mind monitoring, you know, could he get everything on that ball? Is he being affected at all? It's just something to monitor going forward, because they're going to need to be able to put up points. This defense is good, but it's not, you know, that good. It hasn't, you know, made huge strides here. It looks competent. It looks like in this league that defense isn't going to blow games for you, and so that's where it's got to be on the offense to not turn the ball over.
Yeah, I'm just more willing to give the offense a pass this week, given Decker's injury, as you said. And Michigan's defense, out of everyone they've played so far, I think UCLA is by far the best team, but I think Michigan's defense is probably the best unit. Yeah, I mean, they've
that,
just been
front line, too.
Yeah, they got a lot of guys back. They were suffocating last year. So, and Kurt Palahniuk, by the way, 10 times his production from when he played even more in the UCLA game. So
they used him great when he came out there. Just a couple of rollouts and little 5-yard dump offs that the receiver was able to take for 10 or 11 yards. You know, in I think two passes, he had more passing yards than Decker had up to that point, and that was about midway through the third quarter. You know, like I said, what you saw against UCLA, he's not that bad, but he's also not the answer there at quarterback.
And I think for me, you know, moving forward, winnable games on the horizon, you do worry about the offense and how are they going to score points. And, you know, you could even go back to the second half of the Northern Illinois game. They moved the ball downfield, had to settle for some field goals. So you just worry about, you know, when push comes to shove, are they going to be able to get that first down, get a touchdown? And it's just tough, and I don't think we're going to learn much next week either against Idaho State, because you're going from facing two teams with probably with better players to a team with, you know, inferior players. And I think the real test where it'll be UNLV, Reno, I think evenly matched, we'll find out how good the offense is. I think the defense, obviously, better than we all expected.
Yeah. And I'm certainly expecting some regression from that defense, though. Like, it's, I don't think it's going to be that good, but it gives you belief. Like, that's the thing you cling to. Are you completely comfortable, Ray, this weekend? No worries about Idaho State, Division I AA opponent. Three of the last 4 years, UNLV has either lost or barely beaten their 1AA games.
And that's why I'll never be comfortable. I mean, last year Northern Colorado was a one-point victory. You know, the two times before that, a loss to Southern Utah, a loss to Northern Arizona.
Hey, don't forget, in between there, they handled Western Illinois just fine.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, a 41-17 loss to Southern Utah and then a 17-14 loss to Northern Arizona have a way of clouding that one in the middle.
Yeah, and I mean, but even last year, I mean, the 13-12 victory, they were, I mean, just awful. And I think, you know, UNLV running the football, you know, last year wasn't a strength, obviously. And this year, I just think hasn't done enough thus far. And again, the two big school opponents aren't what you're going to see in the Mountain West. And, you know, maybe playing the big school opponents will make UNLV, you know, more ready to play against teams it's comparable to. And that's a good thing moving forward. But there's just so many question marks offensively. Moving the ball, getting first downs, the ground game, inconsistent play at quarterback. You know, we haven't mentioned the offensive line yet.
Yeah, and the offensive line going to get one of their guys back this weekend. There's actually both the offensive and defensive lines are getting more depth. Jeremiah, and I'm going to butcher his last name, Vallega, is coming back on the defensive line. He was injured. And Nick Estrain, who was dealing with off-field academic issues, Sanchez said on Saturday, is going to be good to go this weekend. So you're adding some depth. You're adding some pieces. Gastrain has starting experience there on the offensive line, so certainly that could help. But that running game, we've talked to to Tony since he took the job in December, and it's been about he wants to run power, he wants to ground the ball, wants to be in control through the running game, and they just haven't been able to do that yet. And you know, I've seen enough out of Whiteley, Thomas, and Campbell in practice that I feel like they're certainly capable. Once these once the opponents go down, once the competition level falls off here, that I think they can be good enough to at least get something going there. But you know, you really haven't seen it yet, and so that's an unknown, and that's something that, especially against an opponent like Idaho State, you'd love to see those guys just get some confidence and really just go off.
I think the good news is they survived the three-game stretch to open the season
relatively
healthy. Yeah. And I think that you could tell that, you know, the improvements in the program with the new coaching regime. You know, and I think that last year you're 0-3 and you're thinking, you know, 2-10. This year you're 0-3 and you're thinking 4 wins. Maybe it's the league, maybe it's the coaching staff, whatever it may be. I'm sure you guys will look at me and give me the stare.
Still might be a stretch.
It's more plausible now than it was. And that's a little bit what I wrote about today in a column, was looking at, okay, now that they've gotten through this stretch, what is the rest of the season going to be? Because we all thought that Idaho State at Reno, San Jose State at home, and at Fresno, those are the next 4 games. That seemed like a, you know, as winnable of a stretch as you could hope for from their perspective. But now you're looking around the league. Wyoming, also 0-3. They finished the year there on November 28th. San Diego State here on November 21st. And, Ray, I'm sure you love this part, but they suffered probably the worst loss in the league over the weekend, losing at home to South Alabama as 17.5-point favorites, I believe. I took the point, so I'm not feeling terrible about it, but that was my clear West Division winner, so things not so clear anymore. Hawaii at home, you know, that game we already thought was certainly possible, but nothing that we've seen from the Rainbow Warriors, you know, convinces anyone that they're definitely going to come to Vegas and win. So it's plausible, and you see the defense, you see the positives. They've got a handful of kind of 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 stops. You're seeing good plays out of like Mike Hughes Jr. We haven't even seen, I think, Sonny Sanatoa get to the level that he's going to be at this year. I mentioned Blake Richmond, Penny Vea in the secondary. The safeties have been really solid. There's reason to think that it's not going to be just another 1 or 2 win season, that they can kind of build on some of the positives that we've seen. But how many times have you seen UNLV go out and lose the winnable games? You know, nothing is guaranteed.
My entire life.
Yeah, but for a lot of them, they're not even winnable. You know, or at least it's, okay, UNLV is definitely the worst team here. I don't know how often that's going to be the case in the Mountain West. Like, this league is bad. And so I think you're going to have quite a few matchups where it's sort of, what is that the shoulder shrug emoji? Just like, I don't know. Just roll it out there and see what happens. But hopefully for UNLV's sake, that's not what we're seeing out there on Saturday. Idaho State was picked by the media to be 3rd, by the coaches to be 6th in the Big Sky. They lost by 20 to Portland State, lost 52-0 to Boise State. Their lone win was against a Division II team. And they're working in a new quarterback. They've got a couple of running backs. But this definitely should be, ought to be, needs to be a UNLV victory. Case, what do you think? Where we're going to see here. Is this comfortable the whole way? Going to sweat a little bit? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I wouldn't be stunned if you sweat a little bit, but I think you've got to pick UNLV here. Maybe they start slow and let Idaho State stay in it a little bit longer. But, you know, I believe in this regime, and I'd be more worried if maybe it was the old coaching staff that had a lot of problems with these types of teams. But I got to think that Sanchez and company kind of make a statement here and make sure they get a pretty comfortable win.
Yeah, it was fun having, you know, kind of the bigger opponents, the UCLA game, the Michigan game, especially on that schedule. But now it's really the interesting point of UNLV's season. I'm going to be very intrigued to see where it goes from here, because you can't be surprised by either way, unless like we're at the end of the year and they have like 6 or 7 victories. That I will be legitimately surprised by.
I think we all would.
Yes, but even if, you know, it ends up 2 wins, you can't be shocked by that. But it's out. It's everything's out there for them. You know, there are not many teams, maybe one or two in this league, that you look at and say they are definitely better. There's a whole lot of, they're better in this area, but there's that. It's just bad. This league is bad, and that creates opportunities. You know, that means that everything is out there for UNLV to play for. And even though, you know, they were going to Michigan thinking we can win, we have a chance to win, and on the scoreboard, you know, throughout the game, they were still in it. You know, they only lost by 21 there, but anybody watching never really felt like they had much of a chance. But now, you know, now it's different. Now the inside the locker room and outside expectations are kind of more aligned. So it's going to be fascinating to see how Tony Sanchez and company handle that. Let's just go quick. I don't know that there's going to be even an offshore spread on this game. There'll probably be something out there. But just margin of – I think we all agree we're going to pick UNLV to win. Margin of victory for the Rebels this weekend at home against Idaho State.
I'll say 13.
All right. It's two possessions, so that's something. Ray?
I'm going to say they win by three touchdowns, 21.
21. I was hoping you were going to go like 40. I'm actually kind of – I was thinking more in line with Case. Until I see this offense really get going, I'm just not going to pick them to put up enough points to win by a huge amount. But I'll go with 14, just a little more. They should be comfortable midway through the third quarter and going out, but you never know. You know, at Sam Boyd Stadium, Division I AA opponents, especially recently, you never know what you're in for. So we will be there to chronicle it all for you as UNLV, gets a win, probably, moves into league play, has a chance to make this 2015 season something, you know, kind of worth talking about, worth remembering, and maybe not. Also, it could go a lot of different ways, but the league is out there. Idaho State is out there. All of them. Not too daunting a task for UNLV. So for Case, for Ray, I am Taylor, and we will see you out at Sam Boyd Stadium. Yeah.